Welcome into the program, Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. You're the cure right here on AM 580. Of course, along the way, if you have any questions for the good doctor, feel free to give us a call at any time throughout the broadcast. Of course, brought to you by Veritas Medical as well. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com. Our telephone number at our clinic, 771-1160. That's 771-1160. You can also text in your question, 806-745-5800 along the way. Let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Wade. How are you today?
Doing good. Good morning, Melody Wilkes, who came and got keys a while ago.
Sorry about that.
Right in the middle of the show. Can I have some keys? I'm like,
I was being quiet.
I'm live here on the show.
No. I was being quiet.
Sometimes these wives. I just don't know.
Hey.
What's up with that?
Yeah, get some keys. What do you want some keys for?
Well, because you took my keys off my key ring when we went on our trip, and I haven't put them back on.
Is that it? Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Don't you know it's your fault, Wade?
Oh, hey, it is. I'm totally at fault for that. No problem.
Yeah.
Well, we missed you last week, Labor Day, Monday. It's been a couple of weeks since you've been on the show. We were all gone Monday, to be frank about it. Let everybody go on Monday, but we're back with You're the Cure. What do you want to talk about today? You want to talk about Hillary's illness or what?
Not really, but if you're going to force me to.
Her gut floor is
off. He's like, oh, yeah. She probably has some gut problems going on, maybe.
She's got leaky gut, for sure.
I mean, obviously something's going on. I'm not real into trying to judge people. Medically judge them when I'm not privy to all their...
Yeah, you're not looking at it.
Melody was just asking me a question, and I'm not... I'd have to go back and review her chart to give her a real thorough answer. So for someone who I've never even examined, I kind of have a problem with doctors giving much of an opinion without knowing the patient. But obviously, I mean...
Well, some of them got fired, like Dr. Drew. He made some comment about her having some kind of neurological issue.
Yeah.
And I mean, CNN was like, okay, buddy, you're out of here, yeah. Dr. Drew.
Well, I mean, politics is politics, and you got to be careful what you say, I guess. But just from a doctor perspective, without being able to actually ask questions, spend 2 hours examining and, you know, like we do with our patients, it's hard to say for sure. But obviously something's going on. It appears neurological. You know, that cough that's been going on forever, that can be oftentimes a side effect to a medication. Mm. It could be a nerve issue even with the vocal cords, or, you know, it could be a ton of things. So it'd be nice if they'd just come clean and kind of lay it out there. I think it's important for us to know.
I think it's because she's a Democrat. I'm just kidding.
Possible.
Wow. So glad my wife's on the show today.
Kidding,
she's a Democrat. That's what's wrong. But
sick,
look, no. Let me ask you this, though. I mean, you're a medical doctor, but, you know, I had walking pneumonia before. I've had double pneumonia before.
Yeah.
But it doesn't last that long. And look, I mean, and let me ask you from this perspective, in context of the program today. I mean, do you recommend those people who are older, 65 plus, I mean, you know, like a pneumonia shot, you know, when it comes this time of year when pneumonia starts getting passed around? I mean, yeah. I know you're not big on the flu deal, and I get that. But on a pneumonia shot, I think that's only once every 5 years, I believe, on a pneumonia.
Yeah, it depends on your risk, the level of risk that you have. Some can go 10 years.
Yeah.
My preference when I'm asked about these kind of vaccinations, including pneumonia, is I would prefer you boost all your native immunity, because then you're going to confer the ability for your body to fight a number of different bugs that cause pneumonia.
Yeah.
As opposed to just the one that it's in the vaccine. So I'm much more prone to say, hey, let's get your gut right and your iodine level right and your vitamin D level right and protect yourself against, you know, 200 different bugs that cause pneumonia.
So you all about making the immune system very strong, even
Correct.
For an elderly person, keep
Right.
your immunity up,
yeah.
and you'll never have a problem with it.
Well, that's why the very young and the very old are the most susceptible. That's an immature immune system in the very young, and that's a waning immune system in the very old. But typically what's also waning there is thyroid levels wane, stomach acid levels wane, you know, vitamin D levels drop off, the nutrition drops off, hydration drops off, movement, all the things that affect our immune system.
Right.
So I don't really believe in just chalking things up to old age. You know, oh, you're getting older, you just have to kind of live with this thing. No, that's not accurate. I think we can all be healthy and vibrant until the day that God has for us to die. So that includes even pneumonia. You know, in med school, we're taught pneumonia is an old man's best friend because it'll, you know, these old folks, it'll be dying of some chronic degenerative disease, you know, congestive heart failure, multiple strokes, or whatever. You know, one good case of pneumonia, and you're gone. And it's just kind of a quick and easy way to go. It's kind of the thought in that phrase of pneumonia is an old man's best friend, but all that fits into this paradigm of thinking that we're just naturally going to start degenerating at age 50 and slowly decline over the last two or three decades. Where I think if you stay active and you move around, I mean, that's how we oxygenate the body, is activity. So move around and eat right and get your gut right. We've talked about how gut flora impacts the immune system so much. So as far as vaccines, I'm for safe and effective, and the big word there is effective. And that's where most of these vaccines fall short, is in the effectiveness. And I'll come back next week with the statistics, but like the shingles vaccine I was reading a couple weeks ago when I was asked this question, I think it was about, you know, somewhere in the 13 to 18% range effectiveness. You know, flu shots real hit or miss every year depending on the strains that are most prevalent. But many years, the effectiveness has been close to zero. So when people get this false sense of security, I'm going to take this shot and I'll be fine and I don't have to do anything else, you know, they still, I mean, these people get sick. The shots aren't the miracle cure-all. You can't just take the shot and expect to breeze through life.
Because the shot basically is to, correct me if I'm wrong, doctor, but to stimulate your immune system to build antibodies against a dead or live virus.
That's the idea, is you put these viral parts into the body through an injection, through your muscle, and it will stimulate an immune response that allows you to make these antibodies. And that does happen to a degree, but what some of the latest research is showing, because of the ineffectiveness of these vaccines, I mean, the last mumps and measles and pertussis, you see these outbreaks, most of those people are vaccinated. So it's led to a lot of studies that show, you know, there's different receptors, different immune system cells in different parts of the body. When you normally would breathe in a virus through your nose, through the lungs, or swallow a virus through your gut, there's certain immune receptor sites in the lung. There's certain immune cells and receptor sites in your gut. And when you trigger these certain cells in the proper route of entrance, like through the lung, then you get the proper immune response. When you insert a virus through a needle into the muscle and into the bloodstream, you're bypassing the normal receptor sites in the lung or in the gut, and so it causes an abnormal immune response that's not as long, we now are seeing, it's not as long lasting nor as effective as if you would have got it through a natural native route. So there's a lot of questions on the effectiveness, the length of the immunity. You know, how long do these antibodies really last when you stimulate them through a muscle, like with the injection? Because we're seeing all these measles outbreaks in vaccinated people. Part of that is the bugs also mutate. So there's wild-type measles and there's vaccine measles. Probably, I'm going to predict, and it's not me, but other doctors that are a lot smarter than me and study this, like Suzanne Humphreys, who wrote a great book about this, she predicts a pretty big measles outbreak around 2040 or so, because all the people who had measles when they were young, which my grandparents and my parents, you know, there's still enough of the population that has lifetime immunity to the wild type measles virus, because they got the virus when they were little, and that confers lifetime immunity. Enough of our population still has that immunity, but once they all die off in the next 20, 30 years, then all that's left is us who had the immunizations for the vaccine type measles. So the wild type measles will be just rampant, I think. And a lot of epidemiologists predict this too. And that's the problem. These bugs mutate. Now, how God designed it, which I always like to go back to God's original intent, the measles virus was you would catch it when you're 7 or 8 years old, have a pretty benign course, kind of like a cold, basically. You have it's not life-threatening, no problem. Most people got through it, no issues at all at 7, 8, 9 years old. And then they had lifetime immunity. Until they died, they were immune to measles. So when that person hit 25 years old and they had a baby, that mama who had lifetime immunity to measles passes those antibodies on to her her fetus in utero and through the breast milk. Those antibodies through the breast milk for measles have been shown to last for 5 to 10 years. So when that baby's most susceptible, and where measles could really hurt you is when you're a few months old, you have immunity. Those babies have total immunity because their mom has immunity because she got the virus when she was 7 or 8. Now, that baby drinks that breast milk for a year or two, gets all that those good antibodies, and those antibodies last for 5, 6, 7 years. And then, that kid's 7, 8 years old. Their immune system's now strong. The antibodies from mama's breast milk have gone away. Measles comes through the second grade classroom. You get the measles, and there you go. You have lifetime immunity, and the cycle just keeps going. So you would get measles when you were strong and healthy and could handle it, and then you would have immunity for life. So pretty cool system that somebody designed.
Yeah, well, right. But so if I'm hearing you correctly, what you're basically saying is this 2040 time frame that all of us in this room, because we're all about the same age, mm-hmm. That we're going to have a major problem with this when we're in our older golden years.
Yep.
We could get really sick and die from this stuff.
It's a possibility. And again, some epidemiologists are predicting this. Dr. Suzanne Humphreys, this lady is a nephrologist in Vermont. I believe it's Vermont. Dissolving Illusions is her book. Great book. She has a good website, too. But she was just a tried and true regular old internist nephrologist. And she happened to notice, nephrologist is a kidney disease expert or specialist. So she was seeing these patients in the hospital that were having acute exacerbations of their chronic kidney disease. So someone with chronic kidney disease, maybe on dialysis, were coming into the hospital acutely ill. And she noticed a pattern one week. There were three in a row that all three said, I just had my flu shot, a few days ago. She just jumped to the conclusion maybe there was some connection. So she went, got the package insert to the flu vaccine and read it and said, yeah, don't administer or be careful. It could cause some exacerbation of kidney disease. So she concluded, hey, on all my patients that come in the hospital, since I'm a kidney doctor, all my patients that are needing to be admitted to the hospital, let's just wait until their last day, till their day of discharge, to give them the flu shot. Let's not give it to them on day one when they walk in the door sick. They're bad kidney patients. They're sick. They're requiring hospitalization already for something else, unrelated. They don't have the flu. They're just there for the bad kidneys. Let's just get them tuned up and then give them the flu shot on the last day before they go home, because this shot does increase the risk for further kidney trouble. So very logical, normal. I mean, that sounds, no problem. That makes sense. In fact, not only makes sense, it's the most beneficial thing to do for your patient. Well, she met a firestorm of resistance by the hospital staff, the board that sets the policies on FluVax. I mean, you would have thought she was just coming out saying, all vaccines are awful, stop them all now. And she wasn't saying that at all. She just said, hey, let's wait and give it the last day. Well, that fierce resistance she met, even by her own colleagues who respected her. I mean, she is the most respected nephrologist in Vermont. All the doctors would send their own patients and family members to her. But she met such resistance that caused her to think even more, whoa, what's this? Why is everyone getting so fired up about this? All I'm saying is let's pause for a few days. So that led her to go research, what's the deal with these vaccines? Why are they being pushed so hard? Why are we not being open-minded about this policy? Anyways, years of research, she concluded that there was a lot of ulterior motive, secondary gain, whatever you want to call it, with the whole vaccine industry. And I just recommend everybody read the book. She is for safe and effective vaccines, just as I am. So the problem is a lot of them haven't been proven to be either one of those, safe or effective.
Well, right now that there's the latest in the news, there's a movement within California that basically, and actually I think this was something they were going to put on the ballot, stating that there's a lot of folks in California that are left wing, if you will, that don't want the vaccines. And of course, California is a very liberal state, and they're saying, these vaccines are dangerous for our kids, and we shouldn't be pushing all these MMRs and all this stuff on them, and hitting them double whammies, and it's causing you know, the links to autism, of course, was some have said it's been debunked, but it goes on and on and on about the kids and over-vaccinating our children and harming their immune system in the process. Where do you stand on that kind of stuff?
I stand on the side of the kids. Let's, if there's a question, if we don't know, let's err on the side of pausing until we do know. There's not been a study done that shows all these immunizations that are given day of life one, and then at 2 months, 4 months, 6 months. No one's done a study to show all these are safe to do at one time. And that's my biggest issue, is the number of vaccines, the schedule. The schedule on the vaccine, that's my big issue. The immune system is not matured until 2 to 3 years old. The blood-brain barrier is not fully formed until day of life 8. So at the very minimum, we need to push that first vaccine past day of life 8, because we don't want to put any potential neurotoxin like aluminum into the body when the blood-brain barrier is not formed. So again, this is a very logical, there's no reason not to delay that hepatitis vaccine, in my opinion. So I think Japan now vaccinates all kids after 2 years old because they noticed a significant decrease in SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. Their conclusion was that the number of vaccines given early at 2, 4, and 6 months, there was some evidence, I think, in chimpanzees that the vaccines were delaying the gag reflex in these babies, so they were choking, and that was a potential theory for SIDS. So based on that study, the Japanese decided to pause their vaccines until 2 years old, and their SIDS rates went down. I think it was even to 0 1 year, close to it. So that's what all I'm saying is, let's pause and look at it. Let's do some studies, but unfortunately, I don't think we can do any studies. And there's not a big enough group on unvaccinated kids, except for the Amish, which is interesting. The Amish have little autoimmune disease, little autism, little to none on the autoimmune spectrum, like the eczema, allergy, triad that we see of allergy, eczema, and there's one other. But the immune system you mentioned being deranged or being affected by these vaccines, there's lots of evidence to that. There was a study that showed if you just delayed the DPT, diphtheria, pertussis, tetanus vaccine by 2 months, you decrease that kid's chance of getting asthma by like 40%. I mean, it was huge.
Wow.
Just by 2 month delay.
Wow.
So there's enough evidence. When you go look for it, you can find the evidence, and Suzanne Humphrey's book is a great place to start, that shows how the number of vaccines at the early age before the immune system's developed is an issue, I think is a very reasonable conclusion to come to. Vaxxed, which is coming to Lubbock, I think on the 22nd at Premier Theater. If you haven't seen it, I recommend seeing it, because it's about government cover-up. That's that pure and simple. It happens to be a cover-up about vaccines, but it's about a government corruption scandal that no one's here. I mean, you just said it. You know, the MMR and autism, a link that's supposedly debunked. I mean, people are still questioning, is there a link or not? It's been clearly established there's a link, but it hasn't been on the nightly news or your newspaper or anywhere else. So no one's, I mean, even the presidential candidates at the Republican debate one night, the two doctors on the stage were adamant that, no, there's no link. Where the study clearly shows there is, and not only was that study manipulated, the data was manipulated, lucky for the children, one conscientious scientist on the panel, when the CDC did a study in Atlanta, Georgia, to look at African-American kids in particular, and see if there's any association with more autism with the MMR vaccine. So they ran all the data and compiled it, and it showed, yes, there was. Substantially a significant increased risk of autism with MMR. Well, the scientists all gathered up in the conference room, were told to bring all their data, all their hard copies, the originals, and throw them in the trash. Well, one guy kept a copy on his computer, and he came out later when the article was published in the American Journal of Pediatrics saying there's no link by this study in Atlanta. the scientist couldn't live with himself anymore. His conscience got the better of him, and he went to his attorney and enacted the whistleblower clause, and he released the documents and showed there was a significant linkage between MMR and vaccine in these African-American children. So the American Journal of Pediatrics had to put a retraction in their journal, but it was a very small little back page. Nobody read it. It was not reported anywhere. It was reported in Australia. The Australians picked up on this news from the CDC, put it on their news, I saw, and in Europe, but it was not really reported in America. So that's what Vaxxed is about, is there was a study that showed a linkage, clear linkage. There's one scientist who kept the data, was a whistleblower, and that's the only reason we know now that there is a linkage, because of this whistleblower, and the fact it was not reported. I mean, there was one congressman who stood up on the floor of Congress and demanded a hearing, but hadn't gone anywhere. So that's all that Vaxxed is about. It's the original doctor out of England who started this whole MMR thing, and he wasn't looking to start anything. He was just a gastroenterologist, a pediatric gastroenterologist, who had a few moms come to him and say, listen, all I know, and I'm telling you straight up, is my kid got an MMR, and now his gut has been off ever since. He's got diarrhea, and he's got, you know, some other gut symptoms, plus his behavior's off, and they're trying to call him autism spectrum. I mean, once you hear that three or four times in a row as a physician, if you're a neutral physician who's open-minded, you're going to listen to these parents. I mean, these parents aren't making this up.
So you would say, if I hear you correctly, on MMR, and I've had that a lot, you know, being in the military, I've had it several times, because you have to go through and get, you know, boosters and all that kind of stuff ever so often, part of the regiment for the United States military. But you're not it's not the MMR shot per se, it's the schedule of the shot to a child.
Well,
right?
There's multiple factors involved. In some kids, it's just that MMR, but it appears it's in kids that have a leaky gut or a hyperpermeable intestinal wall. When you've got gut flora that's disrupted, you don't have the right blend of good gut bacteria in your gut, then that makes you more prone to having this abnormal immune response.
Can that happen to an adult?
Yes, it can.
Okay.
I mean, there are a number of vaccine injuries with all different vaccines, but Gardasil is one that's very well reported on, and these are 18, 19, 20-year-olds, so adults that are getting injured. But on that MMR, I mean, back to the very original thing back in 2000 or whenever it was, this doctor in London, he finally scoped these kids. He put a scope down them and did some biopsies, and he found the virus in their gut, which is totally inappropriate. I mean, a vaccine administered through the bicep or the gluteus, you shouldn't have remnants of that viral in the gut mucosa, and he found it. So that was huge. You can't make that up. This is a biopsy that showed the virus. So then all he came out and said was, hey, guys, something's going on here. We're not real sure what. So how about we just do this, at least separate them out. MMR, measles, mumps, rubella. Let's just separate them. Let's just give them separately. That's it. That's all he said. Separate them out and see
what. Put all in one shot.
And see what happens. Mm-hmm. Well, you would, again, you like the doctor in Vermont, you would have thought he was saying stop every vaccine ever issued in the whole world. They're from the devil. He wasn't saying that at all. He was pro-vaccine. He was pro-vaccine. That's what's so crazy about all this is, I mean, these moms that come to me with vaccine-injured kids, same thing. They're pro-vaccine. They're going in on their regular scheduled vaccines, and the kid's playing patty cake and saying mama, daddy at 18 months old, and then after that shot, could it have been coincidence? It could have been, but there's enough coincidence. So these moms were totally pro-vaccine, and then they have a vaccine-injured kid, so they just want to know the truth. They just want to be well-informed so they can make informed consent, informed decisions for their babies, and I'm going to support that until we have more clear evidence, safe and effective. That's the standard, safe and effective. And I'm all for looking at any study that shows the safety and the efficacy of the current vaccine schedule. It's just not out there right now, though.
As parents, too, like I have chosen to not, I mean, the girls did get their vaccines as babies because I didn't know any differently, but as I started studying more on it, I decided, you know, that's not what I want to do, and I didn't want to give the girls the Gardasil. And so, you know, of course, if your kids are in school, they're going to, you know, insist on those vaccines. And it was actually my chiropractor that told me you can go to TexasExemptions.com, I believe it is. And if you don't choose to have your child immunized, you can go there, fill out the forms, they'll send them back to you, and you can turn those back in to your school, and you don't. So far, I have heard nothing back from the school on us not getting immunized.
Yeah, it's legal in Texas to do an exemption. You can just go online and Google that, and they'll send you the affidavit that you sign, and you're exempted. And that's even if you're not going to follow the normal schedule, because what I advocate in my clinic is parents getting informed and then customizing their own vaccine schedule, because, again, that's my number one issue, is the number and frequency and early administration. I think is inappropriate, especially in a sick kid. Even on the vaccine insert, it says, do not administer this to a sick kid. Well, I would say the vast majority of American babies now are sick. And by sick, I'm meaning they're toxic, number one. And that's based off a study in 2002, 10 random babies that were healthy. Their cord blood was sampled. These are healthy pregnancies, healthy moms, healthy babies. Cord blood sampling showed 286 different toxins in the cord blood of these babies. And that's everything from pesticides to heavy metals to flame retardant material to just all sorts of stuff. So we know we're birthing toxic babies. And then on the other side is the gut flora. We know our gut flora has been compromised to a great degree. The number of studies coming out on the microbiome now make it very clear that if your microbiome is compromised, then your immunity is compromised. So if you have a compromised immune system and you've got a kid with toxins in them, because what autism is brain inflammation. The brain is inflamed by toxins. So it's just not the MMR all by itself. That is a toxin, and the number of toxins with all the other vaccines, it just adds up. And sometimes that's the final straw that broke the camel's back. So when you've got a toxic kid with a microbiome that's not healthy, it's a recipe for disaster. And that's what we're seeing. When you see these rates of autism going from 1 in 10,000 up to 1 in 88, I think, is the latest, the biggest thing that's changed in the past 30 years is the microbiome. Our gut flora has totally been wiped out by modern lifestyle and diet stuff that we've gone over before. So that's, if you've got a kid who's got a healthy gut and they're not toxic, probably they can handle the schedule. If they are toxic and don't have a healthy gut flora, then it's a total gamble. It's Russian roulette, and why gamble? Just wait, breastfeed that baby, get your iodine, vitamin D levels right as a mama breastfeeding that baby. You know, do all these other healthy things to keep you and the babies healthy. And then do a customized vaccine schedule later on, you know, whenever. So Dr. Barry Sears wrote a good book. I think it's just called The Vaccine Book. And he kind of goes through the pros and cons of every virus and every bacteria, and tells you what the incidence is of illness, what percentage of kids get these viruses, what percentage end up in the hospital, what percentage even know they have symptoms, period, what percentage even need a doctor. So it just brings in a lot of data and a lot of reality and takes the emotion out of it and helps you make a more informed decision. You know, if I have a kiddo who lives out in the country and plays around in the barnyard and rusty nails and tin roof blowing off the barn, tetanus is for sure something he's going to be more prone to getting, and that's a vaccine he would definitely, I'm sure the parents would want to get.
What do you think about all these, like, learning disabilities? Do you think, like, you know, dyslexia and ADHD and all that, do you think any of that's correlated with the
Absolutely.
Vaccine?
Well, it's correlated with gut. I mean, when the gut's inflamed and the microbiome's off, Dr. Natasha McBride out of London has proven this, you know, extensively over the past 15 years. But the vaccines just add one more challenge to the immune system. And there's an immune system now we're seeing that's in the brain. There's an immune system in the gut called the a nervous system in the gut called the enteric nervous system. And 80% of your immunity is there down in the gut too. But now we're seeing there's an immune system in the brain, almost a separate immune system. And when this immune system gets deranged or when it's not trained properly, which how the immune system gets trained is when you're first born, the thymus gland is a pretty big gland in the upper chest and neck. And it slowly shrinks over the first 5 to 10 years. But its job in those first years is basically to train your immune system, to build you a healthy immune system with healthy cells, kind of like your guys down on the border, you know, border patrol. The thymus gland basically is looking at every single antigen or protein that's coming in from your environment, whether that be through the food or through your breathing. This can be food, it can be bugs, it can be germs, anything. But the thymus gland checks it, basically says, yep, I recognize you, or no, I don't. I'm making an antibody to you. So that thymus gland is real, real important in those first few years of life. And it shows, what the study shows, it with the aggressive vaccine schedule, it causes early involution of the thymus gland. It causes thymus gland derangement. So it has, that's got to have some significant impact on your long-term immunity. And there's some doctors that even believe our cancer rates that are going through the roof and all the autoimmune diseases that have skyrocketed the past 30 years. Their theory is there's some connection with the deranged immune system and the vaccine schedule that's been aggressively implemented the past, you know, 10 and 15 years in particular. So I think there's, at the minimum, we need to take a hard look at it. We know, fact number one, our immune systems are deranged. They're not operating properly. Fact number two, we've introduced a whole lot of vaccines that are known to cause, I mean, that's their whole point, is to inflame the immune system, to elicit an immune response. So someone needs to take a hard look at it. And until the dust clears, like I said, I would err on the side of safety of the kids. There's a lot of ways, and that's what I love about Dr. Humphrey's book. She talks about, you know, pertussis, for instance, and she has a dosing on vitamin C for these babies to take that thins out the mucus. That's the main problem with pertussis, is the mucus production in these tiny little airways of the babies, and it thins out that mucus production so much, the vitamin C does, that it really helps these babies to breathe a lot easier. And it works great. I mean, she talks about it on her website. We've had a kiddo in our clinic with that issue, and it worked really good. And my point is, there are lots of other techniques to boost your immune system and to deal with some of these things. So it's not like you're just sitting out there saying, hey, I'm going to die. Again, read Barry Sears' book that gives you the true stats on morbidity and mortality. Boost your native immunity, and then customize your vaccine schedule to a place that you feel like is a healthy place, is basically my stance on it. So,
well, I'm in deep trouble because I've had everything from smallpox to anthrax to yellow fever.
You refuse that in the military?
No.
No? They won't let you?
No.
Well, and again,
smallpox, give me a break.
Us older folk, you know, we're getting old now.
Uh-uh.
Our microbiome's probably, mm-hmm. It's really the kids born to, it's our generation's kids. So people born in the 70s, basically, that's when a lot of this, the Roundup, the fluorine and chloride and antibiotics in the meat and the dairy and the processing of our food and stripping out all the nutrients, putting in the preservatives. I mean, in the 70s and on is when the microbiome really started to take a hit. And that's where these babies, I mean, we got our microbiome from our parents. So my mom, who was born in whatever, my mom, hope you're not listening, I think it was early 50s, late 40s. I got my microbiome from someone who was walking this planet and eating back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, meaning I had a decent microbiome.
Yeah, I did too.
But now, kids born to these mamas who've been born from 1970 and on, those mamas have been eating trash, basically, unless you purposely weren't eating the standard American diet. You were eating a lot of antibiotics, a lot of fluoride and chlorine. All that kills your flora. All this you know, artificial sweetener kills your flora. Birth control pills kill your flora. We've implemented a ton of things from 1970 on that kill our flora. So now all our kids are being birthed to mamas who have a hugely compromised flora. So it's these kids that are right now being born and that are 10, 12, 15, 20 years old. It's that generation that's going to be at the highest risk for vaccine injury, and that's what we're seeing. That's what the statistics are bearing out.
Yeah.
So as an adult, especially, you know, 40 and on, our microbiome's a little better, probably, if you're trying to be somewhat healthy. Your immune system's matured. You can take a hit. You know, again, this the vaccine injury, in my opinion, is a number of toxins at one time that just sort of all the cumulative effect of these toxins on a very immature immune system in a patient who doesn't have a good gut flora. So that's a lot of pieces coming in. So one, you know, you go get the shingles vaccine tomorrow, probably not going to affect you. I mean, the chances of it having a vaccine injury are exceedingly rare and slim. And that's what I used to tell parents before I learned all this, before I actually went and studied this, because in med school we weren't taught any of this. I never even read a vaccine insert, and I don't think most doctors have. I never read the vaccine insert that comes with the vaccine until, you know, just a few years ago. So in med school, we're not taught any of this. We don't research it. We don't hear both sides of the story. We don't know anything. We're basically just fed a certain line, and we take it. And I don't know where I got off track where I was going with that. But the point is, once I started to learn this, I put all these thoughts together and realized that it's this accumulation of toxins.
But you can build that. Say we've got, you know, we've got three little ones, Melody and I do at home. And we're doing the right thing now with the right kinds of foods and trying to stay away from the environmental toxins and doing the things that we know we should do as responsible parents. They can turn that around. It's not that they're doomed. You know, if we make changes, we can.
That's the beauty of the human body.
And that's what I'm trying to get at, right?
Number one, the human body's resilient. It can take a hit and keep on ticking, as you're evident, walking evidence.
Yeah, smallpox.
Yeah, well, and all that chemical you used to spray and breathe in.
Well, yeah, but it did give me cancer. I'm convinced it did.
Yeah, but your body was able to, you had to cut it out, but... But you're still going.
It didn't metastasize.
Your body can take a hit and keep on going. So don't be panicked. Don't be freaked out. You know, even if your kid's got all these vaccines and you're even if they're not healthy. I mean, we have a lot of kids show up at our clinic with this scenario, some sort of vaccine injury. There's a ton you can do. So no need to be fearful about it. But it all starts with the gut. All starts with nutrition. Eat real food. The vitamin D is huge. I mean, you have to have your levels above 50. That's the biggest hormone that impacts your immune system, because vitamin D is actually a hormone, not a vitamin. But it impacts your immune system more than any other hormone. It's huge. High sugar diets compromise your white blood cells. You won't make as many. Those are your Marines floating around the bloodstream looking for the bad guys. So it's all the things we preach all day long. You know, oxygenate the body. Most of these viruses and bacteria don't like oxygen. How do you oxygenate? By moving around. You got to exercise a little bit. So it's the very basic stuff. It's not some magic rocket science, you know, supplement. Yeah, there are supplements that can kind of help your immune system out or help kill bugs. But don't rely on that. It's the basic foundation, nutrition, hydration, movement, and peace. When you're stressed in fight or flight mode all the time, it shuts your immune system down.
Yeah.
So... But before I learned all this, I used to tell parents that would ask me, there's vaccine injury, but it's super rare, and your chance of getting the disease is greater than your chance of a vaccine injury. That's what I used to tell patients before I actually studied, before I read a vaccine insert, before I studied, before I researched. And now I can't honestly give that answer. I have to tell patients there is a risk of vaccine injury, and you need to know those risks. And I have to inform you of those risks before I can legally give you this vaccine. And that's what I think we're missing in a lot of doctors' offices, is informed consent, because the doctors aren't even informed, i.e. the CDC study that was data was manipulated to show no relationship when there really was. Doctors aren't totally informed. So there's so much emotion on this issue, so much misinformation. I mean, even for me, it's hard to determine sometimes. Suzanne Humphreys, the nephrologist in Vermont, ended up basically shifting her whole career to studying vaccines, digging down to get the truth. She went back into the early 1900s even to do her research. So it takes a real neutral, open mind who can dive into the research and really present it in a way to try to get the truth. So now we're at a place where you have to be informed. Informed consent's key. And that's where I leave it with my parents. Get educated, get informed, make your own decisions, and then I'll support you 100%. We'll do a schedule that fits you and and your kid and gives you peace.
We're going to take a quick break and listen to this word from our sponsors here on You're the Cure. Stick around. We got plenty to go with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, right after this.
Listen to your body. It may be telling you it's missing something. When we're missing omega-3s, we can feel run down, stiff, achy, or have a hard time focusing and handling stress. Omega-3s are vastly deficient in the American food supply, and we can't achieve optimal health without them. Nordic Naturals fish oils provide a convenient way to get the omega-3s you need and deliver industry-leading purity, freshness, and taste. Visit Natural Health Market at 4414 82nd Street in the Village Shopping Center.
At Smoothie King, wheatgrass juice is very popular with our health-conscious customers. Why is wheatgrass juice so good for you? Well, wheatgrass juice helps cleanse the body of toxins, hence the potency of just 1 ounce. Wheatgrass, ounce for ounce, has more vitamin C than oranges, more vitamin A than carrots, and a healthy dose of other vitamins too. Wheatgrass assists in building endurance and athletic performance by supplying the cells, tissues, and muscles with extra oxygen. It's a complete protein containing all the essential amino acids. Wheatgrass has a high mineral content. Magnesium, calcium, potassium, and iron are all available when you drink wheatgrass juice. It also contains hundreds of enzymes, which assist digestion and metabolism. Studies suggest that 1 ounce of wheatgrass juice has the vitamins and minerals of 2.5 pounds of green leafy vegetables. Get by Smoothie King today on the corner of Memphis Avenue and 19th Street. For optimal health, try wheatgrass juice at Smoothie King today.
Vitamins Plus is a full-line health food store located inside Drug Emporium on the corner of 82nd Slide Road. They have one of the largest gluten-free selections in Lubbock. If they don't have what you're looking for, then it can be special ordered for you. They are Texas-owned and operated for over 20 years. Vitamins Plus carries many locally grown and produced products in the store. Good for you groceries at great for you prices. That's Vitamins Plus, 82nd Slide Road. Come by and see us today. We're visiting with Dr. Flippin with Exodus New Beginnings, located at 3805 22nd Street, Suite 2A. Their telephone number out that way, 771-4327. You can always check out the website, exodusnb.com. Go there, check it out. Dr. Flippin, glad to have you on the show today. Tell us a little bit about supportive cancer care.
Well, basically, we just support the patient's immune system, and we do this with several different modalities. We use oxygen in the form of O3, so instead of two molecules of oxygen, we electrically force another molecule in. That's a potent anti-inflammatory. It also causes the patient to secrete tumor necrosis factor, mm-hmm. so that helps kill the cancer cells. We also use high-dose vitamin C, which is a potent antioxidant, and also it has some anti-cancer properties. And then finally, we use high-dose vitamin B, different vitamin Bs, and those support the patient's immune system so that basically what happens is the patient's own immune system can fight the cancer a lot better.
And this is done intravenously, right?
Right.
Okay, and so the patient comes in, relaxed atmosphere, gets a full rundown of what's going to happen. Of course, there's some diagnosis that goes on in the first phase of this, but fully understanding, you know, what's going on, and then treatment takes place after that, right?
That's correct.
It's very, very interesting, and had a lot of success with this, I hear.
Yes, very, very successful. We have a patient that has stage 4 pancreatic cancer, expected to live 6 weeks, diagnosed in November, who's still going to work every day and feeling great.
Well, definitely check it out. Again, located at 3805 22nd Street, Suite 2A, right here in Lubbock with Dr. Flippin. Again, that number to call, 771-4327. Be sure and check out the website, too, exodusnb.com. Call 771-4327 today. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back into You're the Cure, Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, right here on the show. Veritas Medical, of course, you can always check us out. Our website, veritasmedical.com. Our telephone number at the clinic, 771-1160. There is a text coming in. Let's check the text line. Of course, you can text in your question or call us at any time throughout the program, 745-5800, or text in 806-745-5800. Jennifer texting in saying, I have a friend struggling with restless legs at night. What do you recommend he tries to help with that? Thank you. That's a great question. I get that sometimes, too. I'm laying there trying to go to sleep, and for whatever reason, doctor, I'll just jerk. And I'll be like, ah, man, and I was just on the verge of falling asleep. What is
that? Well, I mean, jerking as you're falling asleep is a little bit of a different deal than
restless legs. Granted.
Restless legs is going to be more of a discomfort or pain or just a sensation of,
you want to move.
You know, I've got to move these legs, and the only way to relieve the uncomfortableness is to move the legs. So that's kind of a different deal than just these involuntary muscle jerks as you're going into sleep, and that's more of just some nerves that are. It's a more of a neurological deal. It's not a disease. It's not a problem. It's just the nerves are kind of switching into a different mode, and it causes a contraction of your muscle. So
I'm just odd
for restless leg. Well, you are odd, but we'll get into that next show, maybe. Restless leg, if you're lucky, it'll respond to magnesium. Many restless leg, and again, restless leg is just a label. I always talk about how these diseases are labels. So there's a root cause to the issue. We just happen to label it restless leg. But sometimes, in some patients with that label, it's a magnesium deficiency. When I was very first learning more natural medicine 4 years ago, I had a patient in post that suffered from restless leg. I'd had him on Requip, you know, for a while, which is the main drug that you give for that. And it wasn't helping, and it cost too much. And anyways, I said, just rub some magnesium gel on it, because I'd just gone through a refresher course. I remembered back to med school days. When a muscle contracts, that's calcium flooding into the muscle to initiate contraction, but then to initiate relaxation, it's magnesium. Most people are magnesium deficient, so we tend to, from time to time, get into a more contracted state. And sometimes it's that. Restless leg is just that, magnesium deficiency. So that's the first thing I would try, Amy, for your friend. Try some topical magnesium gel or cream. You can get it at Natural Health Market or any health food store or online.
A cream as opposed to taking the Calm.
I have it.
Like the powder.
Yeah, at the same time, I'd take some orally.
Oh, you would.
Magnesium orally. The problem with that, though, is you can get into loose stool. You can only absorb so much magnesium through your gut. It's kind of like you've got just a certain number of doorways for magnesium to go through. And once those doorways are all filled up, the rest of that mag is going to go into the toilet, but it's going to pull water with it. So if you start dosing your magnesium orally too high, you're going to get loose stool. So do oral magnesium to bowel tolerance is what I tell people, but then do it topically also, especially right on the legs, you know, before bedtime. Just rub it into those muscles, whichever ones bother you. So that'd be the first thing I'd try. And if that doesn't work, then it's probably more of an inflammatory process. Inflammation can disrupt nerve function. Inflammation disrupts blood flow to the muscle. Inflammation is the root of everything. So if a kind of quick fix of magnesium doesn't work, then you're in for the long haul. You got to fix the gut, fix the diet, fix your stress, do all the things to work on inflammation. So that's my answer for that.
Yeah, I've noticed when I get it, the more tired I am, and like I usually get it when I'm sitting up at night and I'm tired and we're watching TV, but I don't want to go to bed because the whole family's up and I don't want to miss anything, you know. So if I'm staying up when I'm exhausted, I'll sit there and I'll be like, oh, and the kids want to sit or lean on me or cuddle, and I'm like, I gotta move my legs.
Don't stay up late.
It's not good for you. But I don't want to miss anything. Everybody's up. I'm just like, I know they're all like, go to bed, Mom. I'm like, well, if everybody else goes to bed, then I'll go.
So it's not, just so I'm clear, what I get sometimes, the jerk sometimes, just sporadically, that's not restless legs.
No. Mm. Nope. That's not a discomfort. That's just
But that's something that just came on a couple of years ago. I don't remember.
That's from excess beer.
Yeah, it could be. Scared about that smallpox vaccine you got in the Army. Or it could be the lingering effects of that.
Dip. It's too much.
I'm not going to make something up like I used to do. You know, doctors are good at making stuff up because we're the smartest guys in our class. We're the smartest guys in society. And so we can't.
I'm looking around going, okay.
Taco Villa bean burritos, I've heard, will do that.
Yeah, that would do it too.
Ooh, yeah, Taco Villa might be the culprit.
Yep, gives you the jerks.
But this is a good opportunity for me to reinforce the fact that we really don't treat diseases. We don't treat restless leg. We don't treat diabetes. We don't treat hypertension or anything else per se. All these are labels. All these labels just describe something. They describe a pain. They describe a number that's too high. They describe something. But at the very root of what's causing it is almost always, in American diseases, Western diseases, it's almost always inflammation. So we really at our clinic work on inflammation. We work on why is the body inflamed. And if we just work on those things, then all the consequences of inflammation, like restless leg, just naturally go away. So that's the cool part of what we do. We don't have to be super smart in rheumatoid arthritis or super smart in high blood pressure or diabetes or anything else, reflux. We're just trying to be super smart in studying God's original design and help support that original design to function. That's
yeah,
it.
Right.
And it's awesome. And the funny thing, last, I think it was Friday, one of my PAs walked in the door, Debbie Hernandez. Excellent PA.
She's our neighbor.
Shout out
She's
to Debbie. She was a PA for SWAT Surgical here in Lubbock for years, but has been with us for the past couple years, and she does a tremendous job for us. But she popped her head into my office with a big smile on her face just to say, Doc, Mrs. you know, Jane Doe, I just wanted you to know she's totally symptom-free of her rheumatoid arthritis. Absolutely symptom-free. And Debbie was so happy, and this patient was so happy. And the reason Debbie was telling me this, because this patient was sent to me by a colleague of mine in Stephenville, Dr. Shane Gillum, who I trained with in UT Houston Medical School and at Waco Family Practice Residency. In fact, we were chief residents together. Great guy. But he sends me some of his patients that tend to be a little tougher, non-responders, or that just want to try a different route besides the pharmaceuticals. But this was one of his patients. After a year and a half with us, she's symptom free, off all her meds, doing great. But the funny part I'm getting to is about 5 minutes later, after she left my room, I got an email. I take emails on our website, ask the doctor a question kind of emails. So this random email from somebody I don't know, 5 minutes after Debbie just told me about her RA patient that was basically cured, the email said, Doc, this is, you know, Miss Smith from wherever, and my doctor just diagnosed me with RA, rheumatoid arthritis, tried to start some meds on me. I asked him if I could try to work on my diet and lifestyle, and he says diet has absolutely nothing to do with RA, is what her doctor told her.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, that makes me a little bit upset, but I understand it. That's what the guy was trained in. That's what I was trained in. But what I politely responded back to that email was, ma'am, God bless your doctor, but he's not necessarily being mean or lying or evil. He's just ignorant. Hasn't been trained that the gut and the flora and the diet have a tremendous impact on your immune system.
Right.
And RA is an immune system disease. All these autoimmune diseases are immune system derangements. That's what's going on. It happens to be affecting your joint, but autoimmune disease is what we're dealing with. So we need to look at your immune system. And if you're going to look at a person's immune system, 80% of it's in the gut. So, of course, the diet and the gut flora and the gut health affect. But we're not taught that in school. That rheumatologist wasn't taught that, so he didn't know. I mean, he gave that lady the best answer he knew out of his training, his very narrow training. So my response to her was, we just had a RA patient walk out of our office completely symptom-free, and all we did with her basically was help her with inflammation by helping with her gut, her diet, her lifestyle, nutrition, hydration, movement, and peace. So,
unbelievable.
It was a restless leg question, but I just want to reiterate to everybody out there, whatever your label is, just Google it. Go Google it right now. Restless leg and inflammation, coronary artery disease and inflammation, Alzheimer's disease and inflammation, depression and whatever, any of it. And you'll see a link between inflammation and your problem. So really what you need to be asking your doctor, asking yourself, is what's causing me to be inflamed? And if you can answer that question and take care of it, then your symptoms should go away.
Anxiety just like the RA lady. Would be inflammation as well?
Anxiety, depression, even dyslexia, autism, all that is brain inflammation. It manifests depending on what part of the brain is inflamed and how inflamed, it'll manifest as different symptoms, but anxiety being one of those. And that goes back to Gut and Psychology Syndrome with Dr. Natasha McBride. I mean, on the cover of her book, Gut and Psychology Syndrome, anxiety, ADD, dyslexia, ADHD, autism, schizophrenia, bipolar, all those are on the front cover of her book. But she just lumps all those together in one category that she calls Gut and Psychology Syndrome.
That's the name of the book?
Yes, Natasha McBride. It's a great book.
Gut and Psychology Syndrome?
Syndrome. So what she's saying is, this is just a syndrome. This is just, a syndrome is a constellation of symptoms, just a group of symptoms, and you group them all together. So she's grouping all the brain symptoms, anxiety, depression, dyslexia, ADD, can't focus, mm-hmm. even all the way to autism. All this she groups together and says, this is just one big syndrome. And I'm just going to call it Gut and Psychology Syndrome, but it's all a syndrome that has a common denominator of inflammation. The brain's inflamed. What she's going on to say is the brain is inflamed because the gut is inflamed. That's why she brought the gut into the title, Gut and Psychology Syndrome. There's a huge relationship between gut inflammation, leaky gut or hyperpermeable intestinal wall, and the immune system that sits in your gut. There's a huge connection between that and your brain.
And what, Natasha what was her name?
McBride. Actually, it's hyphenated, Campbell McBride. Natasha Campbell McBride, Gut and Psychology Syndrome. Awesome book. I mean, her research is 10 or 15 years old now. This book's been out a long time. And in our most difficult brain inflamed patients, we will utilize her protocol and her diet called the GAPS diet. We had a young lady with a six-year-old kid with Tourette's and OCD, had been to an integrative doctor in New York who specializes in this, and she'd gotten about 50% better with her symptoms over about a two-year period of time by taking a whole lot of supplements that worked on the immune system and worked on the gut and worked on inflammation, and she got 50% better, but she had plateaued. So they came to see us, and we're not so heavy on the supplements. We're a lot heavier on the four pillars, nutrition, hydration, movement, and peace. So we went hardcore on her gut, her nutrition, and we put her on the GAPS diet. And over about a 12-month period of time, we were able to wean down those supplements. By 18 months out, she was 98% symptom-free and down to two supplements. So that kind of speaks back towards you can't supplement your way to health. Now, all those supplements were doing her good, obviously. She was 50% better and functioning and in school. But to get all the way better, she had to get her gut right. So we went hardcore. The GAPS diet will get your gut right. But it's a tough diet.
What is it? I mean, I know you can't go great detail.
Basically, and GAPSdiet.com is a website. You can see the details. But basically, you're going to pull out all pro-inflammatory foods, which is almost all foods for at first. You start with
meat and veggies, probably.
Well, you start with broth, a bone broth in particular that you make yourself. So chicken bone, beef bone, she even says fish. I've never had anyone do fish. But you start with this broth fast, if you can handle the fast. If you can't handle fasting, you just drink a lot of broth and you add some stewed vegetables in. And then eventually you work up and you add certain vegetables at a time that she has in order. And then you add a little bit of sauerkraut juice to it because that's your probiotics. And then you slowly go from the juice to the actual sauerkraut. You slowly add in an egg. You slowly add in, you know, more and more foods as you go. But it's a process that you stay with each stage for a certain amount of time until you prove and you show that your gut it can handle the next stage. So more it's just a lengthy process than anything.
That I see a lot, like especially Natural Grocers has it, the bone broth protein already in the cartons. Is that good or no?
Yeah, bone broth protein's good. It really helps. The cells that line your intestine are rapidly dividing, and you make new ones every 4 days, and that particular protein helps to make healthy, good gut cells. But when you're trying to calm the immune system down and you're trying to close a tight junction back up, the leaky gut, homemade broth, you know, your own broth that you make at home is and it's real easy to do.
Once.
Was it easy?
It wasn't hard. The house kind of stunk a little bit.
Yeah, the beef one will stink, so do that out in the garage. The chicken one, I'm not bad at all. I'll
I
get
just cooked forever until the bones were literally like mush.
Yeah. Well, that's when all the best stuff's coming off that
and
collagen
you
and out of the bone
it,
marrow.
And then there's like this gelatin type stuff at the top of it.
It's
and my
so
family
healthy.
Was like, gag, what is that? Mom, they're always like, Mom,
well,
what is it? No.
It's super good for the immune system. So this winter, keep a crock pot on with some bone broth all winter and just feed your kids a couple tablespoons of
that
every
again.
Day.
Yeah. I can't remember. You took all the meat off, right? Well, you cook it
you,
first.
You can do either one.
The then...
Take the meat off, eat the meat, and then keep those bones cooking. And just sip some broth in a coffee mug every morning.
I think there's good.
Yeah. Hear that, Wade?
There's good recipes for those online.
Hey, I'm with the lemon and salt, Himalayan salt deal.
Yeah.
I'm doing that in the mornings.
That's good.
Water, little, two parts lemon juice and water, and then Himalayan salt, maybe a teaspoon.
I drink
that every morning. I hear that's pretty good.
It is very good for you. And I will end with this. The immune system is the most powerful germ-fighting system known to man. We'll never develop anything, vaccine or medicine, that's better. So do things to support your God-given immunity, and you'll be okay. No need to live in fear.
There you go.
Get
all
out
right.
there, nourish your microbiome, and be healthy. You're the cure.
Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, of course, you're the cure right here on AM580. Check out our website, too, veritasmedical.com, 771-1160, the number to our clinic here right here in Lubbock, 771-1160. Dr. Edwards, we'll see you back here next Monday on the program. Have a wonderful Monday and great week.